I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. He went to Canada. Sam Monson on the line from PFF. I wonder what that sounds like to Sam. Went to Canada. Like,
yeah, it's what you do, right? You just hop over to Canada.
It's, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I need to tell you. I mean, you seem like a pretty worldly guy, but that is like just, it's not been nothing for most of our lives, but, you know, he's had a home there. And my sister-in-law and her family live there. And it's like, you know, a day trip that we take fairly often until COVID.
Yeah. My parents used to live in upstate New York, so I've actually made the trip a couple of times myself.
All right. Very good. So you know. So then the border has been closed for a long time until recently. Now you have to get a test and you have to be vaccinated. And there's all these sort of logistics that go into it. But I, and especially knowing him as well as I do, Sam, like Bulldog is just going to be in tears all day. Like, he's up there seeing friends he hasn't seen for almost 2 years, and you know, it's just going to be a great day for him. So sorry that he's not here with us, but I'm sure he's going to be in a very happy place. All right.
Sounds good.
Yes, thank you. Glad to have you on, of course, and thanks for rescheduling from earlier in the week as we had the Monday night game, which, I mean, hey, it was a great game, Sam, right? Like, the Bills come in on the short end, but that was great to watch.
It was a great game, and you know, obviously a close talking points to come out of it with. It was one of the better standalone games.
So Derrick Henry is, I think, where I'd want to start from that game, and I'm curious for like how you would describe his value or how you would sort of quantify his value, Sam. I mean, we're in this era where running backs seem to have depreciated in value overall. We see that in the draft and just in the way the conversation goes. But Henry really stands out as an exception. And I wonder if there can be an exception, you know?
Yeah, and I think he is it. We've been calling him the exception, you know, almost using as a nickname for him on our podcast recently. And I think that's truly what he is, that all of the things we know about running backs in today's NFL – that, you know, quote unquote, they don't matter or they're a product of their environment and all these different things, I don't know that they apply to Derrick Henry. He is breaking the rules and consistently doing it. And even when you look at some of the data, whereas, you know, you could have made a case, and we did make the case, that Derrick Henry really hadn't done anything with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback. And it was the change at quarterback to Ryan Tannehill that really sparked this incredible production run from Derrick Henry. And so the automatic thinking there was, well, it's Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback, driving this, because we know quarterbacks are the most important thing. But actually, the more you look at it now, the more it might be that Derrick Henry was always providing this opportunity for a quarterback to come in there take advantage of everything that he opens up in terms of play action, in terms of favorable box counts and all those kinds of things, and be effective as a passer, which makes Derrick Henry's life easier, which makes everything better. So Marcus Mariota just wasn't doing that, and as soon as Tannehill comes in, you suddenly have a quarterback that's able to take advantage of what Derrick Henry has been creating all along. But I do think that, like, he is different. He is, there's nobody else like him in the NFL right now.
Do they probably have an added benefit in how the trends in the league have so favored passing offenses and defenses adjusting accordingly, line up different? Like, it's the roster to begin with. Then you can get into your formations and make these adjustments. But you have to have, like, the big bodies for a team like this. And what do you know about this? Do teams have less of that than they used to?
Yeah, I mean, I think defenses have trended smaller, quicker, faster for years now. And as the league has trended ever more towards passing, lighter, quicker players on offense, the defenses have gone to match. And you've got guys like Darius Leonard, who's one of the best linebackers in the NFL, saying that he's been playing at 215 pounds. Like, that's a safety's weight a few years ago, but now that's what linebackers play at. So all of a sudden, against most teams, that's fine, but with the Titans, you're going up against Derrick Henry, who outweighs linebackers now by a huge amount, and he's still as fast as those guys. So, yeah, I do think there's definitely something to the idea that defenses are not as well equipped to physically contend with a guy like Derrick Henry as they might have been 10, 15 years ago.
The, quote, running backs don't matter argument has always made sense to me, and I just sort of subscribe to that from whenever I first started thinking about it or hearing about it, Sam. You know, last night's game is a win for me because Cleveland is down Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who are both excellent, and then D'Ernest Johnson, okay, and he has a big game because of the team he's on and whatever. But Henry does make that challenging. I think about, like, the Bills playing the Titans is another opportunity. I think about, like, if I were on the air in Tennessee, I would want to, at least in the beginning, I'd want to be fighting so hard against, how am I going to win the Super Bowl, right? Like, how am I going to win this way if I need to establish the run, et cetera? But I don't know. Like, there's still some of that is still correct. Like, they've been good but not great, although only one team can win the Super Bowl each year, and some faulty conclusions can probably be drawn no matter who wins.
Yeah, and we've been kind of joking that Derrick Henry is going to single-handedly set back the kind of analysis of football by like 5 years, because he's going to be the guy that everybody is trying to replicate. And I think even if you accept that Derrick Henry is different and the rules don't apply to him, it still doesn't mean that anybody should go trying to look for that, you know, trying to replicate something that is unique, that doesn't exist anywhere else. And I think that is where people get themselves into trouble. There is still an overwhelming weight of data that says all of these things about running backs, which are true for every other running back except Derrick Henry. But where teams get into trouble is saying, yeah, but this guy's different. Like, this guy is a unicorn, and this guy, the rules don't apply for him. And they almost always do. And we've seen that basically everywhere else, whether it's Zeke Elliott, whether it's Christian McCaffrey, all these other running backs, the rules still apply to those guys. But Derrick Henry, they might not. So, you know, I think there's room for both those things to be true, that Derrick Henry is the exception to all of these rules. But that doesn't mean that it should change, you know, what we believe to be true when it comes to running backs, or that other teams should go trying to find their version of Derrick Henry.
Sam Munson at @PFF_Sam on Twitter. Mike Shopier, Bulldog, is off today. Last thing on Henry is, what do you think of his MVP candidacy?
I think it's still, you know, a little bit too over the top. I think ultimately quarterbacks are just too important. And if you do truly value the value component of MVP, it really can't be anything other than a quarterback. But I think it's a serious candidacy right now. Like, I think he deserves to be in the conversation. He is that Titans offense right now. He does carry it in a way no other running back in the NFL does, in a way no other position outside of quarterbacks do. So, you know, I don't think you would give him MVP right now, but I think as long as you're talking out the award, his name just belongs in that conversation.
Right, I agree. So it's the bye week for the Bills, and here are a couple, like, so you might take, a fan might take the opportunity to sort of take stock of it. What have we got? And a couple of ways of doing that, the Bills lose the game Monday night, but we're in here on Tuesday, Sam, and I'm saying I don't feel any less good about them than I did. And on our morning show today, Jeremy White asked, I saw it on a Twitter poll, do you feel better about the Bills than before the season or not? And I said yes to that too. I wasn't as confident as maybe the next guy that the offense would be this good. Just, you know, last year was amazing, and could they kind of come close to that? But so far they mostly have. So I'm in a very good place about them. What is the right answer?
Yeah, I think you should be in a good place with the Bills. They've had a reasonable season so far. They're in an extremely good position within the division. They are, you know, 96% chance to make the playoffs, 93% chance to win the division. They are going to get deep into the playoffs. They should be shooting for the number one seed in the AFC because they have that easy division to work from. And at that point, like, what they're shooting for is when we run up against the best teams in the AFC, is it too much of a shock? You know, once we get to the playoffs, can we raise our game because the opponents are going to get better? I mean, we have the Bills with the 27th most difficult schedule so far in the league, one of the easiest, and the 31st, so the second easiest for the remainder of the season. They are going to have a pretty beneficial schedule over the course of the season. So when you have to face the best teams in the NFL once you get to playoff time, that's just, you just have to make sure that this team is not going to be shocked by that and that they're prepared for that jump. But yeah, like, there aren't too many teams that can kind of almost look towards January already and what kind of position they're going to be in then.
Right. And it's, you know, compared with certain other teams, the last 2 years have also been seasons here where it was kind of like all set. 2 years ago, New England was better, but they were in as a wild card. The conference was kind of weak, and they just, it was the five seed all year, Sam. We probably spoke then. And then last year was never the one. They lost to Kansas City early, and the Chiefs only would lose another game right in the last week. And really, like, they climbed their way to the two, but the two and the three are not that different. So by this time, the last 2 years, I feel like we kind of knew what they were. And this year is close to that. The one seed will be, you know, of course, like, it's in the conversation, but it's no given, obviously. But the division almost is, you know, for, as these things go.
Yeah, it really is. And I think you're right. It's a great point to bring up in terms of, you know, one and two seeds didn't used to be a whole lot different because of that bye week. Now, because of the extra wild cards, and you really want the one seed or bust. It's one because that's where the big advantage lies, and everything else is almost much of a muchness. So the Bills, because of that relatively easy division, because of the easy strength of schedule, they have a shot at securing that number one seed and really giving themselves the biggest chance possible to make it through the AFC playoffs and into the Super Bowl. So I think that has to be this team's quest right now, is let's make a run at that number one seed and really try and secure this this advantage, the one true advantage that's left in the playoff seeding.
With our weekly guest, Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR. We have a few more minutes. So we all got to look at the Browns last night, although I'm not sure what that's worth with so many guys hurt. You know, they do get the win, and, you know, they defensively they were good. Running back was good. But this was a trendy team to talk about before the season as a possible AFC champion. And is it necessarily wrong to still be doing that, Sam, with what they are through seven games? I mean, they should get healthier, and their losses have been against some of the best teams.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot because they got so banged up over the past couple of weeks. Offensive linemen, quarterback, both running backs, receivers, they were without so many of their best players. And yet they've kind of just about kept on ticking. But the real issue they have is that Baker Mayfield is, you know, permanently for this season injured. Like, yeah, that shoulder injury is not getting healthy until he has surgery on it, whenever that comes. So either he's going to have that at some point this year and be shut down for the season and turn the keys over to Case Keenum, or Baker Mayfield is going to be playing through that injury all the way. There's just no way that he plays to his best with a badly injured shoulder, albeit his non-throwing shoulder. So I think they're in a tough spot because they'll probably get healthier. They'll probably get better because of that. But I'm not sure with a kind of injury-hampered Baker Mayfield, they have enough to beat the best teams in the NFL. You know, when they face the Chiefs again, maybe in the playoffs, they're going to need Baker Mayfield to make some throws, and right now he might not be capable of doing that.
What do you think the future holds for him, or is it too tough to tell?
I think that's a really difficult question now, because I don't think the Browns were sure, which is why they've let it run into the season, hoping that that would kind of give them more data and more information and a better indication of which way the wind was blowing to decide on that contract. But now Mayfield is going to play almost the entire season injured, and there's no way that that improves his stock in their eyes. And it's tough to know how much it should send it the other way. You know, they'll have a kind of asterisk next to the performance he has this season of battled his whole way through with an injured shoulder or torn labrum, but it's very difficult to see a way that that wouldn't negatively influence how they see his future. So I think they're in this really tough spot where I don't see how you can give him the Josh Allen type of contract based off the information that they've had for the last 12 months or so, but that's what he's going to be looking for. So maybe the injury and the fact that he'll be playing probably worse is an opening for the team and Mayfield camp to try and sort of forge this middle-class quarterback contract that doesn't really exist in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Everybody sort of admit that, okay, this is not a guy that has an MVP on his resume like Lamar Jackson or the kind of season that Josh Allen had last year. He is just below that level, so let's give him a contract that's more commensurate to that.
This Sunday we have the Titans, who we've already talked about, hosting Kansas City, who we talk about all the time. And we also have Baltimore hosting Cincinnati. Which of those two games is more interesting to you?
I'm really interested by the Baltimore-Cincinnati game. Joe Burrow right now is the number one graded quarterback in the NFL against the blitz. He's got a PFF grade of 93, 5 big-time throws, no turnover-worthy plays, pass, thing like that. And Baltimore is one of the most blitz-happy teams in the NFL. Chiefs and sort of dialed it all the way back for that game because of Patrick Mahomes. They've shown, you know, with the Mahomes game, that if there is a player out there that carves up their blitz, they're prepared to dial it back. Give Burrow that respect without him showing it. So they're probably going to come after him and dare Joe Burrow to beat their blitz the way he's done for everybody else. And that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I like that game. I don't know what the odds might be, but if it were even money, would you bet on the Bengals to be a playoff team?
Probably not. I still think there's enough good teams that they probably fall out and become one of those in-the-hunt teams that doesn't quite make it at the final reckoning, but they'll be in the discussion.
Does Cincinnati believe? You're there, right? How are the fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're getting direction and more to the point with a quarterback that looks like he's for real. So I think the Bengals have reasons to be excited.
Yeah, seems right. Good sports town. I like Cincinnati. You like living there?
Yeah, it's good.
Good. I'm sorry, that was weird. All right. Thanks for your time, Sam. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk again on Tuesday if that works for you.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
Okay, Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, normally Tuesdays at 4. We've got the Sabres tonight at 6, pregame at 6 anyway. And Joe and I will talk a lot of fantasy. We're here for your questions, too. It's a tough week.
Also, there's news on Jeremy and Lenny Dykstra.
Hold on. There's news on Jeremy and Lenny Dykstra. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the way I want to frame it.
I want to find out what that means.
Yep.
Am I supposed to know what that alludes to?
No, absolutely not.
Great.
In fact, I texted just for some background on this. I texted Jeremy, just offered you a deal in LOSAD, which is our fantasy league that we're in together.
Yes, the League of Shopes and Dreams, by the way.
Yes, and his response was, I thought this text was going to be about Lenny Dykstra, and I had to go looking for what that meant.
Okay, I can't wait.
So, you'll have to find out next.
If you need help, we are offering it. What an opportunity for you. 803. I might ask you for help as well if you call in, though. Just be prepared. I need help too. 803-0550. We have the Sabres and Bruins tonight, pregame at 6 here on WGR.
This is a very good player. And to give ourselves the best chance to win the title, you need difference makers. You don't need role players. Right now, any sort of trade, which obviously Ben Simmons wants, the best thing we can do is get role players back. That makes no sense. That will give us no better chance to win the title if we were to move Ben Simmons for role players. People should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time because our only path, my only job is to help us give the best chance to win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it.
Love that guy. Daryl Morey runs the Sixers. 93-7, the Fanatic in Philadelphia.
He added that it could, a long time could be 4 years. He was asked to clarify that, and he said 4 years.
Right. Would you like to hear the very same thing from Kevin Adams?
I think so.
Listen,
it's different because Simmons is there, and it is like it's a circus, and Eichel's not here.
It's not that different. It's not that different. What isn't different about it is he's going is the only way to trade Jack Eichel to trade him for role players, not per se.
But what's the equivalent of that? Like conditional first round pick and an average prospect.
First round picks, I mean, depending on who and how many, can work. Mm-hmm. It's kind of depressing, but that can work. That's different than trading him for four guys. That's the O'Reilly trade is more what Daryl Morey is describing. You know? Players who do not give you any better chance of winning a championship. If you are not trading for players who give you a better chance, like a noticeably better chance, to whatever extent that's possible, of winning a championship, why are you doing it?
It's also a bit different in that they're in a championship window.
Yes, that's right.
And we are the furthest thing from that. Like even he also referenced in that interview that like a reason that we will not trade him for role players is we are in the middle, or for picks and prospects or whatever, is they're in the middle of Joel Embiid's prime and that they need to capitalize on that now.
Right.
So
good point.
That's a difference as well, is that, you know, they would be looking for a very specific thing because they know they're trying to win a championship this year and it's realistic.
What do you think of the idea of the Sabres announcing an Eichel trade during a game in the building?
In the building?
Yeah.
What do you mean? In terms of like what the reaction would be, or like getting like it, or like would that be the cool?
The act of doing that, yes. We're going to give you the people who spent money on us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Sabres should be bending over backwards, thinking of ways to give the paying customers more than ever, you know, like. You bought a ticket to this game. Guess what? This is going to be the night of your life.
I guess
anything like that.
I guess it depends on what the trade is.
Well,
because
the trade will be what? There's only a certain range that this trade can be.
Mm-hmm.
The trade will be Jack Eichel for some older player that costs a lot, some draft pick.
And some prospect
or two, like some combination of those things. And, you know, the crowd isn't just like I would be. Like, we're not really – you're different. Bulldog's different. But I'm like, okay, Quinton Byfield, okay. Like, I know who that is, but most of us don't sort of have like a strong position on him. It's just like he's the new Jack Eichel, right? He's the new young prospect. We'll hope that he works out. That's just one name, and that might not even be realistic anymore. If I were the Sabres, I'd be like, you know what? Let's just announce this trade ourselves in the building and give it to the fans who are here. If they don't like it, well, they'll be talking about it. That's the business we're in. All right, what is the deal here? Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jeremy pulling himself away from Arsenal leading 3-0, I think.
No, we were out giving pumpkins, you know, doing fall things. all that kind of stuff. What I heard you is there a trade? I didn't catch if there is a trade.
No. Daryl okay. Morey. Joe played a clip of Daryl Morey explaining the Ben Simmons thing. He's like, look, it does not do us any good for me to trade him for role players. This could take 4 years.
Oh, right.
And I said, would you like to hear that from Kevin Adams? Because it's a little bit the same.
Yeah, I guess. It's there is an end game. I thought about that today. Like, are the Sabres prepared to be so staunch in their position that they force him to, I don't know, pay him all that money to not play? Or I'm sure there'd be some sort of, you know, lawsuit or whatever. This whole thing has always been like playing out the end game, and it's always just ugly.
It's always ugly. That's right.
Always ugly.
We'll keep him for years until we're ready to win. Then maybe we'll move him, or maybe he'll want to come back. It's not something I'm thinking a lot about. So, Joe did your show. You're doing mine. Is there a nightcap? Do I go on tonight? Is that what's happening here?
Well, it's funny. I texted Joe because I apparently have had a Twitter conversation with Lenny Dykstra in the last 20 minutes.
Oh.
And when I saw this happening, I got a text from Joe, and it was about a fantasy football trade. But my first thought was it was Joe congratulating me because of what happened with him and Troy Aikman. You know, I thought like Joe had his yes. Aikman moment on Twitter. I thought like, oh, here's someone who has had one of these before. And it was not that. It was a fantasy football trade. So anyway, yeah.
That he immediately rejected, by the way.
Immediately rejected the trade. But then I wanted to talk about Lenny Dykstra. So
I'm always happy to do that.
Anyway, it's not important. It's funny. Like, it's not important what he retweeted and all that conversation. I was trying to explain to my wife who Lenny Dykstra is. And Joe doesn't know who Lenny Dykstra is. I know you guys do this a lot. Like, hey, do you know him? And Joe had to look him up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had to look up who Lenny Dykstra is. I've heard the name before, but I had no idea who
when
he
you
was.
Look up, hang on a second. When you look up who Lenny Dykstra is, how does it start? Does it start with baseball, or does it start with, like, the last 20 years?
I didn't know there was a last 20 years. Oh, so all God. I know, all I have oh, is the 86 God. Mets.
There's a lot. The there's 86 lot. Mets.
I think I understand it now, but.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's the a 86 lot. Mets is where it starts. For me, Lenny Dykstra is, you know, We've all done these shows like this. Lenny Dykstra is the first time a player I loved was traded, and it broke my heart.
Yeah.
It's Lenny Dykstra.
I can remember where I was for that trade. It was announced on the game.
Right. And were they playing the Phillies that day, or did they play them the next day? Because this is back in an era when you didn't have 24-hour sports coverage. What year is that? So I can know how
like
old I am.
89.
Maybe. Okay, so I'm 10 years old.
Perfect age.
Yes, and I like the Mets, and I turn on the Mets game. The Mets are playing the Phillies, and they're showing the lineups, and here's Dykstra for the Phillies. And I'm 10 and think, that's not right. What's that about? And it was like one of the first games I had watched post-trade. I don't know if it was the day after or 2 days after, but, you know, I'm 10. I probably wasn't exactly up on minute-to-minute stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was devastated. Like, I loved Lenny Dykstra, and here he is traded for who? Juan Samuel? What are we doing, Mets? You know, so.
It's even more confusing when you need Ralph Kiner to explain it to you, by the way.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
By the perfect age, I was thinking, like, the most impressionable age for sports, you know. Like, that's Danny Gare and Sove being traded to the Red Wings. For me, I was almost 10 or about 10.
Yeah.
So what happened today?
I have my pinned tweet, and I tweeted something back in June. And without getting too thick into like politics, I just tweeted that I will sign as an NFL quarterback so that media can ask me if I've been. I can say, hell yes. Because everybody seems to want to want to make it this personal decision. I was like, I'll sign to the team, and I'll just say yes.
Jared, excuse me. It had to sound there like we had bleeped the word vaccinated because you cut out for exactly that one word.
Exactly that amount of time.
Okay,
so
sorry.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
No.
So, you know, hey, have you been vaccinated? Yes. Uh-huh. I would just say that the same way that, you know, like a couple of coaches have. And some, you know, it's always like it's been this third rail for NFL quarterbacks for some reason. So I was, you know, kind of a joke, like, and he retweeted that with a comment that I had to look up what he was trying to say.
Do you know? So anyway, I did not know. I still don't know what that is. Is that like a CNN reference?
He has told me he's making fun of woke ESPN is what he said. So whatever.
Okay.
He was making a joke, and I was making a joke at the time. Anyway, like I said, that's not important. Hey, Lenny Dykstra, you broke my heart when you got traded. He didn't break my heart. Whoever it was when he got traded to the Mets.
Frank Cashin.
Or to the Phillies, sorry.
Frank Cashin would have done that. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
The pinned tweet part of this is important because when I first saw it, and even up to this moment, I thought he had looked up a tweet from June and was now bringing it up 6 months later.
Well, he would have probably found his way to Jeremy for some reason.
Right. He was on your profile page somehow.
Yeah, something happened that caused him to do that, and he saw that and went with it. It's not surprising to me that something involving Lenny Dykstra would be really confusing and weird. Like, what did he mean? He told you later in a follow-up that he loved it.
Yep, I guess so.
What's that? He loved it.
Well, we're even because I loved his career with the Mets, you know, and I looked up on Wikipedia the trade. He made the All-Star game 3 times with the Phillies, you know. He had one of the all-time great nicknames in sports,
Nails.
Right? Nails.
Yep.
Come on. It doesn't get better. And as a kid growing up watching baseball and falling in love with baseball, that was – I almost want to say, like, that's back at a time when kids were totally in love with baseball. It was the sport you could see the most of. And, you know, there's, like, a romantic time in the late 80s, early 90s for me, for baseball and for the Mets and all that. So – you know, perfect storm,
It's perfect storm is funny because, like, this started with Daryl Morey, and he's somebody that has commented on my tweets before, and that's, like, really cool to me because Morey, I think, is awesome. So there's sort of that. Is Dykstra all-time favorite Met?
Howard Johnson's probably it.
Oh, Joe.
Which is kind of embarrassing, I think.
Yes, maybe. I've changed mine since the day. Like, in the day, Hernandez was not my favorite, but growing older, there's no way he can't be my favorite. Like, it has to be Hernandez. And plus, like, his defense gets more credit after he retired, and there's more appreciation for the value of his being the best defensive first baseman in the National League for many years. The hit he gets off Hurst in the World Series is my favorite moment, other than, like, you know, the end of Game 6 of the World Series. Like, it has to, and he's still around. He's still broadcasting, and he's kind of funny. So that's my choice. But when that team was playing, I would not have said Hernandez. I probably would have said, like, Sid Fernandez. I would have said Fernandez, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple answers, probably. There's probably a little bit in there for, you know, the Mets in 2000, I still kind of loved them then. You know, Olerud was great, of course, and pitchers, Al Leiter was
sure.
Great, was fun. So, yeah, I mean, but I'd probably say Howard Johnson at the time. Daryl Strawberry for a brief period of time, Doc Gooden for a brief period of time. You know, the Mets, so I'm 10 in 1989. I remember 87, 88, 89, that era. And then they kind of drifted and got bad for a while, you know.
They're kind of
the 90s.
Hardly ever escaped.
Yeah, so like Dave Magadan is somewhere in
Liked
there.
Liked Magadan, sure. Yeah. You're like more the Jeffries years than
Greg
me.
Jeffries, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I was good. Oh, by Olerud, since you mentioned Olerud, do you know the thing about the Ricky Henderson story and how he said it isn't true?
That he met Olerud and said, we had a guy in this team that also wore a helmet?
Right, right.
Yeah.
There. If you didn't, like...
Not true?
Always one of my favorite stories, and I met a guy at a Blue Jays game this year in Buffalo and told him that story. He laughed. You can't not love the story, how Olerud ends up on Seattle later on with Henderson. And Henderson's like, oh, the story is like, oh, we had a guy in the Mets who wore a helmet in the field. Like, it was me. So everybody loves that story. But this guy looked up that story, like, overnight, and then the next day emailed me with a link to a video of Olerud at a banquet where he says, I'm sorry, but it's not true. We had a clubhouse attendant who liked to pull pranks, and he went around that day telling everybody that Henderson had done that when they were both on the Mariners, I guess. But he totally made it up. So, too bad. Too bad.
I almost would want to contact Ricky Henderson and ask him, do you want that story? Because it is a good story.
It is good, yeah.
And I'm okay. And if you're Olerud, you're like, I'm okay to be the butt of the joke if you're okay to be the guy that forgot about me, or Henderson's the butt of the joke. Either way, I'd want to ask Henderson, if you want to let that go, I'll let that go too, and we'll let everybody believe that.
Yes. Yeah, you know, depending how sensitive he is.
Right.
He might resent it or he might love it.
If I'm Olerud, I make the call to Henderson, and then I tell people that he asked who I was. You know, like, let's just take it the next step.
It's good for both of us. It's win-win.
Yes,
Olerud can get mileage out of it.
Yep.
All right. Nice talking to you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
And Thanks, Lenny.
Good luck in fantasy.
Yeah, well, I need it.
Kind of a rough year.
Terrible year.
For you.
You know, kind of. Kind
what,
of.
What is the sum total here? Acres? You lost Acres. Did you have Dobbins?
I'm the Chiefs offense where I should be good, and I'm just turning the ball over. I'm making mistakes. I find myself at, 3-3. That's what I am. I'm 6-6 in our fantasy league, and I've got a good team, but just not coming together this year.
But look at the underlying numbers, like points scored are up there, right? You're fifth,
yep.
And you're not too far behind, like fourth and third. So
yeah,
that's the Chiefs.
Kind of.
Although the Chiefs are like, I don't know if Jeremy's ever been like a powerhouse before that was like an easy favorite coming in every year.
We'll work on this. I hear babies and dishes. Go have your weekend.
There's a lot. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Jeremy White. There he is. Lenny Dykstra. Dykstra doesn't let you quite understand what he was doing. That's the genius of him, I guess.
I'm currently reading through his Wikipedia page, by the way. I'm not quite through the last 20 years that you referenced. There's a lot of it. I'm at the car wash lawsuit part.
Dykstra. Just, if there were a picture in the dictionary of an athlete next to the word shameless,
it would be him.
I think maybe that's the best word to describe him. I mean, I don't know personally, but totally gives you that sense. Rachel's Fresh Picks next. Bulldog is off today. Sabres pregame at 6. Mike Shope with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR. Time for Rachel's Fresh Picks. Make these sometimes more fantasy-centric. Bulldog is not here today for our picks, and we've got a Sabres game tonight anyway, so we'll probably do our picks for Sunday's games or the weekend's games. There's a college game in there normally online. I don't have any plans to do them next hour, but maybe. For Rachel's Fresh Picks, it's not my kind of argument. It's not like numbers based, so take it for what that's worth. But I'm just convinced Jalen Hurts will be quarterback one, just have a huge fantasy game against the Raiders. You know what it is? I was thinking why do I feel that? It's because of other recent games that this sort of reminds me of. That probably don't help get this right. Like, this is not how I'd want you to do your process. But the Eagles went to Arizona last year, and Hurts had this huge game in fantasy. There's a different coach now. It's a different opponent. The Colts went to the Raiders. There's a Colts guy in Sirianni, if that means anything. Might not. Probably doesn't. The Colts went to the Raiders last year and smashed in terms of fantasy. I think of the Raiders as, that team that has some fantasy goodness in the passing game, Josh Jacobs, but also can just get destroyed defensively. This Crosby is good for the Raiders up front. He's been really good for them, Max Crosby. But I love Hurts in this game. Goddard is back. I think Devontae Smith, all those guys are good, really good plays. I don't know about DFS in terms of what they cost. Hurts is probably not cheap, but love him in that spot. I like the Atlanta-Miami game similarly. And it makes me sort of force myself to get with Tua in that game. Because you've got an over-under of 47 this week. You've got games this week that are really lopsided in terms of the spread. Other lower totals. Last night was 40. But Atlanta and Miami, two teams that, aren't great or even necessarily good. But maybe should be expected to be able to score on each other. And so what does that mean? That means for Atlanta, it's sort of obvious, it's Pitts, Ridley. Ridley's been getting targets, missed the last game, hasn't had the huge week yet, but I think I would love him in the spot. Though Miami's pretty good at corner. And then I guess the running backs, Patterson's a good story, maybe even Davis. Pitts is the one I want the most. And then for the Dolphins, who is there? Parker is questionable. Fuller is still out. It's Jalen Waddle, but really, Gesicki. Gesicki is the one. I never drafted him. Just I don't want a tight end in the middle. Those guys, take this Tonyan. Joe is complaining to me about Tonyan for Green Bay. One of these, Evan Engram, too. These guys in the middle of the tight end crop, that just like they drive you nuts. And they're almost like too good to bench. Almost. And for a few weeks anyway, they are, because you spent like a sixth round pick or seventh round pick on them. And then like, oh geez. And you don't have anybody better if you did that. But Gesicki is going all right. Like it's been high and low, but he's going all right. The one thing that helps him, he's never lined up at tight end. He never plays in line. So for fantasy, he's a wide receiver. Like, he counts as a tight end, but he's never in line. He's always lined up out wide or in the slot, and that's good for you. So he had a good game, I think, in London, and the week before, he had one game recently where he was, I think that might have been the Raiders, where he had a huge game. I feel like he's a good play at this point on a regular basis, Gesicki for the Dolphins. So there are a couple ideas. You got a fantasy question? Joe and I are here. We'll talk a lot of football next hour, some Sabres, then pregame for Buffalo-Boston at 6. 803-0550 to call in. Mike Schoepp with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.